Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And it came about that when Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And some Pharisees came to him, testing him, and saying, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all? And he answered and said, Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Then they said to him, Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate and divorce her? And he said, Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. And the disciples said to him, If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. And some children were brought to him, so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Let the children alone, do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And after laying his hands on them, he departed from there. And behold, one came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking? And Jesus said to him, If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, Who can be saved? And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Amen. Chapter 19 starts off with a little discourse on divorce. You know, let me give you some context, okay, so you don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. The Jewish, the Talmudic system had rules by which it was incredibly favorably disposed to men. And so a man could actually offer a certificate of divorce for really any reason at all. In fact, it didn't really have to have any reason whatsoever. You know, if the wife burned the soup, here's your certificate of divorce. You know, and so that's the question they ask. They ask the question, can a man really divorce someone for any reason at all? You know, that's the main question, right? You know, really? Is this really? Because even to them, it doesn't sound reasonable, right? And Jesus is picking this up. And he tells me, he says, this is not what the intention was, you know. But then they ask, well, why did Moses offer this? And he says, because of your hardness of heart. You know, in other words, this wasn't God's law. This was man's law, you know, during this time. And but it's because of the hardness of heart. And he says to you, whoever divorces his wife, and the key, and I want you to look at this, the key is except for immorality, right? Why? You know, I mean, so I, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, let's say I beat my wife up. That's not a ground for divorce. I think, really? But that seems, no. What is grounds for divorce? Actually, immorality. The reason why immorality, or, you know, obviously in this case is the issue of adultery. The reason why it's so pronounced is because the whole time he's talking here, right, he says a man shall leave his family and cleave to his wife and they should become one flesh. You know, I spent so much time talking about one flesh. adultery actually breaks one flesh theology, basically. You know, and so he's making a point. No, you know, everything else is not that it's permissible, but there is no right to divorce, you know, except immorality, because immorality, adultery breaks one flesh union. You know, Jesus, God, you know, they consider this to be so supreme, you know, in the life of the believers, right? That anything else, I mean, I could, you know, I could brand my wife with an iron every night, you know. Take it easy, right? You know, I mean, you know what I mean? I could do all, you know, I could just do horrific things, but that's still not grounds for divorce, you know? And I'm not saying those things are permissible, right? But the key is that's the stature by which they put immorality, you know, because it breaks one flesh. The worst thing that you can do to your spouse is to be unfaithful to your spouse. You know, I mean, I can't think of a, you know, worse thing. Well, I mean, my wife and I, we talk about this, you know, and, you know, it's kind of a joke, but I think she's quite serious too. You know, we say that, you know, if I commit adultery, I don't have to ask her for forgiveness, right? Because she'll kill me, you know, so, you know, it's a joke, but, you know, I hopefully, you know, I never will, but that's something, you know, and it's really important. And so these are men talking, right? So the men turn to Jesus, and they're basically like, so why should I get married then? You know, and the idea is, well, if I'm going to be stuck with this woman for the rest of my life, why should I get married, right? And he says, listen, you knuckleheads, you don't get it. You know, and he says, and some people won't get married, you know, and this is the what he's talking about, but only to those whom it has been given. Right, what's been given is the gift of celibacy. That's what's been given. And he says, and some are celibate, you know, are made eunuchs, you know, by men, by birth, and some for the kingdom of heaven. Right, and so, you know, invariably, there are people in this world that have a gift of celibacy. You know, in other words, you know, being alone or being single, you know, is not a big issue for them. You know, it's not something, you know, that's like, oh man, I'm not gonna ever have kids or whatnot, you know, because their attention is fixed on something more. And so, you know, but this is not for everyone, right? And I think sometimes a great travesty hits people when they're forced to be celibate, right? And, you know, and that's a whole nother issue. And then Jesus blesses the children and lays hands on them. And then we have the rich young ruler, right? What a great picture of what salvation is really about. This person comes to him and he says, teacher, right, you know, rabbi, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life, right? Notice his question is flawed from the beginning, right? Because he's asking, Lord, what should I do? You know, and so Jesus plays that part, right? And he says, you know, obey the commandments, right? And what did the kid say? He says, from my youth, I've done all these things. What does that tell you, though? It tells you that doing stuff does not get you saved, right? He says, you know, it says, the question is, what should I do, right? And so Jesus is, this is what you should do. And he says, well, I did it, but I'm still not saved. You know, I still don't have eternal life, right? This is the failure of the law, in essence, right? Because you can keep, you know, and I'm sure this kid's lying. There's no way he kept the commandments, you know? I mean, come on, give me a break, right? But, you know, to the extent, it says, all these things I've kept, what am I still lacking, right? That is a very profound statement, you know? I've done all these things. I love my neighbor. I did all these things, and he still recognized I'm still lacking something. You know, we could be good moral people, but you'll still lack something, right? Because salvation, you know, or eternal life is not an issue of works. It's an issue of faith, you know? And so now he presses him right on this. And he says, if you wish to be complete or wish to be whole, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, is Jesus contemplating another act here? No. This actually goes to the heart of it all, which is his heart, you know, and salvation or faith, right, is trust. And so to the rich young ruler, he's saying, well, do you trust God or do you trust your possessions? Are you trusting your own piety in what you can do, or are you trusting God? And it's obvious in this case that where this rich young ruler, what he was really trusting in, he was trusting in his possessions. He was trusting in his wealth, you know. And this is a thing about wealth, right? That sets itself apart in many ways, because the wealthy, there is a very godlike atmosphere, right? Because, you know, God, right? He's omniscient, right? Knows everything, is everywhere, you know, all powerful. You know, when you're wealthy, you could very easily think you're God, because you think money can take you anywhere, right? You think money can buy anything, right? The three attributes, right? Omniscient, you know, you can know anything, right? You can buy someone, you can get as much knowledge or know anything, or, you know. And so in a way, wealth, you know, that sets itself apart, you know, that's why there's a lot of scriptures on this, is that you can actually think that you're God or act like you're God. You know, you can get yourself out of any trouble with money. You know, you can go anywhere you want with money. You know, you can, you know anything or know anything about something because of money, right? And so there's this kind of attitude. And so Jesus really hitting this point, right? And he says, man, it's hard for a rich man to go into heaven. Why? It's because of that simple thing. There's this atmosphere around money that is very deifying in a certain sense, right? And stuff. So, you know, shares this parable, you know, this story, and I shared with you guys before, the camel, rich man through the eye of a needle, right? You know, the needle being, you know, when people go into the gates, right, they have to take everything off the camel, you know, and but it's an analogy. He's saying, you know, and so they have a picture of that, of camel going through a small gate, they have to take everything off. So in other words, you can't take anything with you, you know. But then he draws it even more and says, even through an eye of a needle, right? And so these guys are really getting this analogy. And then these guys are like, well, then who in the heck can be saved? And he said, with God, you know, with man it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible, right? And so, of course, this doesn't mean rich people will not go to heaven, right? Because with God, all things are possible, but it's very difficult in the same way. And then Peter answered, right, Lord, we left everything, you know? So, you know, you got the train of thought, right, that's happening. We left everything for you. And he said, I tell you what, man, right, you know, when I come back into my glorious throne, everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life. The word there is any time as much in this life and then the life to come. See, the Christian life is a life of abundance. Not that you will have abundance, you know, not monetarily, even though that could be an aspect there, right? But in the sense that God will bring so many blessings in this life and then eternal life to come. Right, and shares this. Let's close our eyes today. You know, and in a simple, you know, way, where are we placing our trust? Are we placing our trust in our own piety? Are we placing our trust in our own goodness? Maybe in our possessions, our job, our intellect, our abilities? Or is it on the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on us and save us? And as Jesus leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that before the Lord.
Change.
Let's pray together. Let's spend some time and let's really probe our hearts and making sure that, you know, our faith, our salvation, right, is based on Jesus and Jesus alone, the Holy and Anointed One. That it's not our possessions or our abilities or our skills or our piety, our own goodness, but only on Jesus. And let's just pray that to ourselves in that way, for ourselves. Let's pray in our mission focus, and let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the persecuted church there and ask God to continue to bless. And even, you know, we heard from Mark a few weeks ago, you know, guys like Mark that are in Korea, that the Lord would just move them to go back when the doors open and something would happen. Let's pray for the conflict between North and South right now and, you know, and the six-party talks and all that stuff. And let's continue to pray for Chris and his ministry. Let's pray for Peter, Han in the NK border. Let's also pray for Bhutan. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this country. And I think Tom is making his way back fairly soon. I think Jonathan came back as well. And so let's just continue to pray for God to open the doors in two of the most closed countries in the world. And let's pray. Let's pray for Febe Ministry and Pastor Selamat and Mimi and the family. And, you know, they had a Holy Spirit weekend this weekend, and I went out to pray. Man, it was a real strong presence of God. So many of the women just really received from the Lord and just so hungry. Let's pray for the Korean church as they are going through different things. And, you know, there's more, a little more turmoil going on. You know, the pastor that left is actually coming back. He's come back to Hong Kong to plant a church here and stuff. So, yeah, so it's really messy, man. And so let's just pray that the elders and everyone would just be very humble and, you know, work through this situation well and very unfortunate events. Let's just pray for God's covering over the Korean church. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Pray for Star Street and the Morels and the Kims at Seymour and the Matt and Sophia Lan Kwai Fong. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them, a real grace over their lives and a real fruitful time of meeting together, of ministry to one another, of loving each other. You know, all the each other verses or one another verses in the Bible that we would practice, you know, during our house church time. So let's cover. Let's pray for our move. Let's pray for the new opportunities that are coming up. Pray this coming Sunday is our pledge Sunday. Let's pray for the Spirit of Jesus to touch us as a church, and that we really come on board in the vision. That God would just really do something supernaturally in the midst of us. Let's just cover our move and continue to bless the Vine and their fundraising as well. And let's ask God to move on their behalf. Let's pray for our members. Let's pray for Jimmy. Let's pray that he would go deeper and wider in 011. Pray for House Church to become a better spiritual leaders. And pray for their family and the new baby. I don't know if you guys know, but Boyoung is pregnant. And let's pray for her healthy baby and a smooth birth and adjustment for Chloe. Pray for Jimmy's dad to be saved and just blessing over the workplace this year. Let's pray for Janice. Let's pray for Janice's brother, that he would turn his life back to the Lord. Pray for salvation of her friends David, Eunice, and Jess, that God would move upon them. Pray for an undivided heart before the Lord and not to be distracted. And also pray for face-to-face ministries, that she'd be filled daily with his love and really able to help others in that way as well. Let's bless him. Let's pray for Alicia. Pray for her grandmother, who's a new Christian. Praise God. Let's pray that she would continue to grow and become a prayer warrior. Pray for a revelation. She's about to take a break from work to where God wants her to where and when and what to do next in her career. And just for a revelation at the root cause of the sinus allergies for Calvin. Let's pray for healing over his life in that way. Let's pray. Well, we thank you so much today, God. Continue to draw us to you, Father. Help us, Lord, in our faith, God, in our trust, that we trust you and you alone, God. Lord, for you alone, God, do we draw closer to the Lord. And so help us, Father God, to not trust in our abilities, God, or in our piety, Lord, but we really put our faith in you and no one else and nothing else. We thank you. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today, and we'll see you next Tuesday.